If you have your Bibles, open to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And last week, Pastor Toledo talked about what to do when life crashes. And I want to piggyback off of that just a little bit. A moment in the Apostle Paul's life where things were crashing for him. And it's, you know, the Apostle Paul, he started the church in Corinth. And his second letter to them comes about a year and a half after leaving, and things are going a little haywire. There are some false teachers that are trying to sway the church in Corinth to believe things other than the gospel, and to do so, they're trying to discredit the Apostle Paul. They're saying he's not who you think he is, he's a fraud, he doesn't even preach well. And so for a few chapters, the Apostle Paul is a little reluctantly giving a defense of his ministry. You never want to be the guy who like has to pull out their resume, but he kind of does that a little bit. But I want us to look at the few verses that he concludes that with, and I think that it's something that we need today. I don't know about you, but it's at least something that I need today. And I want to take a cue from the Apostle Paul today. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at the end of verse 5. I will not boast about myself except about my weaknesses. Everybody say weaknesses. Weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain so no one will think of me of more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. Why? For when I am weak, then I am strong. I don't know about you, but as somebody who really tries to do my best in life, and as someone who tries to have things together, man, it's hard to read so much about weaknesses. Paul talks a lot about weaknesses, and he's saying, I want to boast in them, but not because of myself. Why? So that Christ's power would be made perfect. Title of today's message today is Wear Your Weaknesses. Wear them. Wear your weakness. Don't hide from it. Wear it. Too many times, you know, if that was us and we're defending our ministry, we're defending our life like the Apostle Paul was, it'd be too tempting to say, hey, I did this, but so-and-so, they did that and that and that. And look at what I did. Look at all these, look at this, look at this, look at this performance plan that I had. Look at this thing that I achieved. Look at, you know, and I did this, and I'll show you receipts. But Paul says, no. I just want to talk about my weaknesses. Because it's in my weaknesses that Christ is made strong. That Christ's power is made perfect in me. A couple weeks ago, I went to this. Well, every week, hopefully in faith, every week I go see a trainer at a gym and become a friend of mine. And I work out every week, but it's going to him that's a lot harder. For one, he's like telling me that I can do more reps when I feel like I know I can't. He's telling me to do exercises and movements that I really don't want to do. The hardest part, though, is walking into the gym. Not like, you know, some people say like, hey, half the battle is showing up. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying like when I literally walk into the gym and he greets me, he's a nice guy. So smile on his face, shake his hand, gives me a hug. But then he sizes me up as if to say like, let me see if you're really working out this week. A handful of weeks ago, I showed up and he gave me a look. You know, I can always feel like the wheels turning in his head too. Like one time he said, I want to do legs with you today, but I feel like we should do something else. You know what he's saying? He's like, I'm looking at you and I don't think that you're working out the way that you say that you are. So I'm going to put you through something today. Number of weeks ago, I walked in and he sized me up, as he should, and he said, oh, we've been eating good, huh? I was like, hey, you know. So then a couple days later, he was here. I was talking to him. My wife was right there. And he turned to her and he said, he's been eating good, huh? And she said, yeah, I've been telling him. He's got to not eat this, not eat that, not eat. And he said, yeah, I can tell when he does because I can see it in his face. It shows in his face. And I was like, oh, like my disposition? And he's like, no, I can see where the calories go. And it's right there. So I went home and I was trying to do like face exercises, you know, like work it out. Didn't work. So he said that, and then that following week, something came up with work, and I had to cancel on him. So canceled, tried to call him. Well, I couldn't get a hold of him. I texted him. I said, hey, I'm so sorry, I got to cancel. But don't worry. I've been active. I've worked out this, and I lifted here, and I've been eating good. And he's like, great, I'll see you next week. So see him the next week, goes good. This past week, I'm just trying to wear my weaknesses with you. This past week, something came up with work. It happens. I couldn't make it, so I cancel on him and I text him, and then I wanted to text, hey, I've been staying active, I lifted here, I've been eating good. And as I started to write it, I was like, I did inventory, and I was like, none of those things are actually true this week. I can't lie to him. Because if I do, it'll catch up with me, right? Then I'll show up next week, and next week will even be even worse. You just got to be honest. You got to wear your weaknesses. The novelist, author, John Updike said it this way. He said, the mask eats the face. What does that mean? It means so many of us, we try to wear masks. We try to cover things as they really are and try to put on a facade. We try to hide what's really going on. And in doing so, it eats away at our identity. It eats away at who we really are, and so we can never really grow the more that we're hiding behind a mask. I could have put on a mask last week and said, hey, everything's going good. I'm working out like crazy, and I'm eating great, and all of this stuff. I ran 6 miles today. I could have set all this stuff up. It's just a mask. And then you have to answer for that. Or it's a mask, and you start to become something that you really aren't in reality. The mask, it eats. When we wear masks, it eats at who we are. See, the thing that's incredible about Apostle Paul here is he says, hey, here are my weaknesses. I've got these weaknesses. If you know me, you probably know what they are. But man, he says, I've got this thorn in my side, and I've been asking for it to be gone. That thorn, we don't know what it is exactly. Commentators, some people have different ideas of what it might have been, something physical or perhaps shame from his past. You know, the Apostle Paul killed Christians. Somebody that I know from growing up, I was in the booth a couple weeks ago, the production booth, and I'm walking out, and in the last row, I saw somebody that I've known for years and years. And I was taken aback, and I said, hi. He was like, what are you doing here? I said, I'm one of the pastors here. And he said, I didn't know this is where you were a pastor at. And eventually he started to say, like, man, I wanted to go to a church. And he wasn't grown up a Christian. He's had a rough life. And he's been through some stuff. And he said, I was trying to go to a church, but I was trying to go where nobody knew me. I said, why? And too many times, we want to go where nobody knows us so that we don't have to be honest, so that we don't have to be open, so that we don't have to wear our weaknesses. But that's where the growth is. We have to wear our weaknesses. We have to be open about them, open before God, open in community. That's why becoming groups are so important. Be open about the things going on. So he started to tell me, he's like, I want to seek God, but I feel like I've just messed up too much in my life. He said, you know, I've served time. And he said, I've served time, and I thought, the Apostle Paul killed Christians. And then God used him. So don't tell me that you can't be used by God. Don't tell me that God doesn't have his eye on you. He could take Paul, he could take you. He could take Paul, he could take me. But what did Paul do? He wore his weakness. He said, you know what? I've got this thing. And again, we don't know exactly what that thorn in his flesh is, but it's good that we don't. Because since it's good that we don't know, we don't compare ourselves and our sin to Paul. We don't compare our weaknesses to Paul. We don't compare our limitations to Paul. And weakness, that's all it is. It's limitation. It's an inability to do something. It's a limit in your ability. It's a limit in your strength. And guess what? God loves when you're open with that to him, because God didn't expect you to do things on your own. God wants to help you. God wants to be with you. God knows exactly what you can do and you can't do. He wants to help you in your weakness. And what is that weakness for us? Some of us, it's a lack that we have. I was with a friend of mine yesterday that I know pretty well. He's my age, and we're talking about a shared acquaintance, somebody that we know, and we're talking about we know him and his family and his kids, and we were saying, man, he's such a good dad. Like, that's the kind of dad that we want to be. We were both saying that. The way he treats his kids, the way he honors his kids, even the way he honors his wife, and the way that he has fun with his kids, we're like, man, it just, he exudes all that. And it was good. And then my friend said, yeah, I wish he had been my dad. He's a grown man. He's my age. He says, man, I wish he had been my dad. Some of us have these voids in our life that we've faced. Some of us have things that we have never had met, that we've yearned for. That might be the thorn in your flesh, that you didn't have the upbringing that you wanted or you felt like you deserved. You didn't have the parent or the love that you felt like you needed. You didn't have anybody teach you the wisdom that you felt like you needed. You didn't have the opportunities that you felt like other people were afforded to. Can I tell you something? That thorn in your flesh, it's something to lean into. It's not something to run from. Don't try to hide from the things. We can walk into church so many times and say, yeah, things are great. Bless God. Things are going awesome. And on the inside, things are tearing us apart. Can I tell you something? God does not want you to hide. He wants you to be open. He wants you to... God loves brokenness. God meets us in brokenness. Jesus came to save sinners. He didn't come for the righteous. He came for the unrighteous. He came for the people who were in need. He came for the people who didn't have everything that they needed. But we can't hide. Denying your weakness doesn't just negate your weakness. It doesn't just mean that things are gone. Sometimes, you know, yesterday I was prepping for this message, and my wife is out of town with some family, and so I texted her, and I was just thinking about the message, and I was like, hey, what would you say are like my biggest weaknesses? And I sent the message, and then I like tried to unsend it. I was like, I don't want to know that answer. I was like, no, stop. And then as I'm like seeing if I can unsend it, I'm like Googling like how do you unsend a text message. I see the dots pop up, and she's typing a reply. And if you gave out that sigh, you know the anxiety that comes with that, where you ask something and you're like waiting on that reply, and the dots came up, and then they stayed there. I was like, man, she's got a lot to say right here. But then the worst thing happened. Then they disappeared. I was like, she doesn't want to say what she wants to say. I never really got a straight answer. I thought about, you know, you ever seen the like really bad job interviews where somebody's interviewing for a job, they say, all right, here's all the positives, here's the good things that I have, here's my experience. And they say, what would your coworkers or your previous employers say are your weaknesses? And they would, you know, they try and sound really good. They're like, oh, I care too much and I work too hard. You know? That's not what Paul's doing here, and that's not what we're supposed to do. That is running. That is putting on the mask. That is saying everything's good when really everything's probably not. You know, even if life is good and life is blessed, there are thorns that we live with. There are pressure points that are unresolved that God says, hey, I want you to be aware of that, but I'm going to deal with it the way that I want to deal with it. And so we have to let ourselves be open with God, open with our weakness with that. So listen, I just want to give two prayer points, two application points that I believe that this passage shows. Number one, God's greatest grace is found in your greatest gaps. The gaps in your life, the thorns in your flesh, grace can fill the space. The grace that God has can fill the space in your life. The space, look, there are gaps that you and I have. I could ask God for the grace to sing and lead worship like Daniel does, I'm not going to get answered the way that I want to be answered right there. Unanswered prayers do not mean that they are unanswered needs, unkept needs by God. No. All of your needs are provided by God. But not all of our prayers are answered the way that we want them to be. God has specific grace for me. He has specific grace for you. How do I know that? Paul records that God said, my grace is sufficient for you. That word sufficient, it means adequate for its purpose. It means just the right amount. I don't know about you, but that word adequate, it didn't seem adequate to me. Like, sufficient, it's just adequate. Like, oh, that feels like a C on a midterm exam. Like, very average. But no, that's not what it means. It means just the right amount. The gaps in your life. Maybe you're seeking, you know, a promotion or a new area of vocation. Maybe you're seeking direction in your life. Maybe there's unresolved relational things in your family. Maybe you're trying to figure out how to be the best parent you can be, how to be the best spouse you can be. Whatever lack, whatever void there is in your life, when you're honest about that lack, when you're honest about that space, that gap that's there, then God can say, all right, now I've got the grace to fill it. I want God to fill every gap of grace that's in my life. The places that it's, when it's hard for me to communicate certain things, God, here's my weakness. Would you turn that into your strength? When it's hard for me to be courageous, God, would you take that weakness from me? Would you turn it into your strength? Would you let your power shine through on it? God, when things are disorderly for me, when I don't know what to do or where to go, God, would you turn that weakness into your strength? I don't know about you, but I could be here for a long time listing my weaknesses. I want God to fill each and every one of them, not with grace for somebody else, not with grace for a different, you know, sometimes we put on masks and we want to be like somebody else. We compare ourselves to so-and-so or to whoever looks like they're playing the part. But no, God doesn't have grace for them in light of that. God has grace for you. God doesn't have grace for Jake to look like Pastor Tim or to preach like Pastor Tim or to pray like Pastor Tim. No, God has grace for Jake to do what God has called Jake to do. God has grace for you to do what he's called you to do.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Just the right amount. Just the right type of grace. Grace to communicate. Grace to step out. How do two people born in America, raised in America, living in Chicago, how do they say, you know what, I'm going to be missionaries to Indonesia like Karen and Joel? And then as years go by, how do they say, hey, we have a burden not just to be missionaries here and preach the gospel, but to raise other people to do the same? Is it because they are experts on everything Indonesia and everything everything that they need? No, it's because they recognize, hey, here are the gaps that we have, but we serve a big God. We serve a God that can fill it. We serve a God that can take our weakness and turn it into his strength. Paul says, three times I pleaded with the Lord. There's, you know, if something's worth praying for once, it's worth praying for twice, it's worth praying for three times. Bible's, later, Paul says, pray without ceasing. So don't stop praying for stuff. However, he says it here, three times I pleaded with God, and God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. So you know what he's saying? It's like Paul saying, hey, three times I told God, would you please remove this thorn? Because this thorn, if you remove it, it'll allow me to be more effective in ministry. It'll allow me to do more things. It'll allow me to be better and to be more capable for you. And you know what God's saying? God's saying, I think I know best about how to use you. I think I know best about what you're capable of and where to best place you. And I think too many times we approach God and we say, hey, God, I need you to fix this so that I can do this. And God says, no, I will give you grace so that you can do that. Some of us, we say, God, if you give me that raise, then I can start to give and be generous. God, if you give me that promotion, then I'll be able to influence people in this way. Or God, if you would just give me that spouse, you would give me that relationship, then I could be so much better for you. And God says, that thorn that you have, I can take it out when I want. But until then, I'm going to fill every weakness that you have with my grace. It's not going to be your own strength. No, my power will be made perfect. Unanswered prayers are not unanswered needs. God will supply everything according to your needs. You won't be left out to dry, but it just won't always look the way that you wanted it to. Isn't it? It's merciful. It is the grace of God that we don't get every prayer answered the way that we want it to. God hears every cry. He answers every prayer, but not the way that we want to. And that, my friends, is good news. Because if we got everything that we asked for, we would be so miserable because we don't know the end goal. We don't know what God has. We don't know what he's preparing us for. I don't think I've ever shared this, and it's so many details, but you know, before my my wife and I, before we got engaged and before we got married, we had dated a couple of years prior. And long story short, she dropped me like a bad habit. And I went a while saying, God, would you somehow restore that relationship between me and her? God, would you somehow bring that back together? And for a long time, God said, no, I'm going to keep that thorn right there. And I would say, God, but you don't understand. I would be so much better with her. She's perfect for me. A, B, and C. Look, I wasn't wrong, but God said, no, I'm going to keep that thorn in right now, and you're going to learn something so much. I didn't know how it was going to work out. But in the meantime, God finally hit me over the... I finally relinquished, and I said, God, okay, finally, I'll take my hands off. I'll let you do whatever you want. And can I tell you something? When something seems dead, God can raise it up, but you can't raise Lazarus on your own. Only Jesus can raise dead things to life, and only you can take your hands off and say, God, this is dead. If you want to raise it, you can raise it. We go through those times because God is more important about who you're becoming than who you are right now. That's why we're a place of becoming. God wants you to develop into everything that he's called you to be. Amen. He's a perfect father. Second point is this, and then I want us to close today being at the altar. I want us to pray. Number two, your thorn isn't holding you back. It's holding you up. The thorn in your flesh, I want to read this. We read this earlier, but I want to reread what Paul said. He said, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited or prideful or boastful, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Can I tell you something? The things in your life that you've gone through, or the thorns, the pressure points that you say, God, I need this fixed, I need this resolved, some of them are from the enemy. They're not self-imposed. Some of them might be, but they might be from the enemy. And guess what? God can still use that. And if God doesn't remove it right away, guess what? He's keeping you from something much, much worse. The thorn right there, he says, to keep me from becoming conceited, God kept it there. To keep me from becoming prideful. Pride is the greatest detractor from grace. Pride is the reason that Lucifer fell. Satan was initially a worship leader in heaven, and he was proud. He didn't want to ask God for grace. He was proud, and so then he descended. It is the initial sin. It is the original sin. C.S. Lewis called it the sin of all sins. It's the original one. Every sin flows from pride. And if you and me, if we have those thorns removed, if we have all of our weaknesses removed, we're no longer, then we're just asking to be perfect. We're just asking for a life to be perfect. But no, we are being perfected, the Bible says. But we are in transit. We are in transition. Occasionally I come home and I don't know where they come from, but we'll... It's like, it happens like once a week. There'll be like a mountain of packages. And I'm like, did we go to the mall today? Like, what is it here? And a couple weeks ago, I ordered something. And when I saw that mountain of packages, I was like, oh, surely it's there. And I grab number one, and that doesn't have my name on it. Grab number two, it doesn't have my name on it. Over and over and over. And I'm like, it should be here. And so I go, and you ever like look up the tracking info on a package? And I was expecting for it to say delivered, arrived, but no, it said in transit. Every one of us, we are, say it with me, in transit. We are in process. We are becoming. We are not arrived. As we are being perfected, as we are in transit, God is perfecting you, but we're not there yet. God is shaping you. God is molding you. God is preparing you, but He won't remove the thorn because it's protecting you. James 4, it says this, I quoted this earlier, but, you know, there's grace, and then there's more grace. James 4, but He gives us more grace. That's what we talked about already. God always has grace for you. John 1 says He gives grace on top of grace. The grace from the past, it doesn't mean the grace for today. He's got more for you. But God opposes the proud, shows favor to the humble. You know what Paul was saying? He's saying, I'm being pierced by this thorn for a purpose. I've got this lack. I've got this thing, this space that isn't filled yet. And man, I want nothing more than to have that filled. I want nothing more than to get that relationship. I want nothing more than for you to move in this way. I want nothing more than for that door to open. God, I want nothing more than for this to be restored or for me to be healed in this way. All of that, it's great. Don't stop praying. Don't stop pressing in. But God says, hey, there are some lacks, there are some spaces, there are some weaknesses that, man, you just hold on because that thorn's going to be there. But in the meantime, I'm going to fill it with grace and your weakness, what was before a weakness, will now be my perfect power making you strong.